Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my broadcast. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2021. On the broadcast today, I want to focus in on the treatment of Christians in Iran. I do this quite frequently in support of the house church movement and the underground church. And I do this because their voices need to be heard all over the world for the incredible suffering, discrimination, and treatment of them that goes on. And their voices need to be heard loud and clear. This morning, I want to talk about one particular Iranian Christian. His name is Nasser Navard Goltapa. I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. Nasser Navard Goltapa. Recently, I posted his story in my page, Praying for the Persecuted Church. And just a few weeks after that, there has been a petition put together by Article 18. Article 18 is a website in the UK that is very supportive for Iranian Christians. And they have put together a petition for us to sign. It's going to be on my Facebook page, so you'll be able to interact with it as soon as you listen to the broadcast today. It's important you sign the petition because of the way this man is being treated. Just a few days ago, I posted the video of his mother, a very emotional, tearful plea from his mother, who is crying out for his freedom. And so what I want to do today is I want to bring us a little bit up to date if you're not familiar with his case. And this is from Article 18. There's a campaign entitled Free Nasser Navard Goltapa. And Article 18 is calling on the Iranian government to immediately release Christian prisoner of conscience, Nasser Navard Goltapa, and to stop prosecuting Christian converts like him. Nasser, who celebrated his 60th birthday just this past August 3rd, has been in Tehran's Evin prison. How long? Since January of 2018. Can you imagine over 3.5 years? He's serving a 10-year sentence. Why? For membership in a house church. Nasser has appealed for a retrial on more than 3 occasions, but each time his request has been denied. He also recently applied for parole having served 1/3 of his sentence. Again, his request was denied. Before his imprisonment, Nasser was his elderly mother's primary caregiver. So she needed him, then led to believe he was going to be granted parole. He had encouraged his mother he would soon be able to return to her. They've done the same thing with Nazanin Ratcliffe. Oh, they promised very soon you'll be released. They play mind games, and they end up lying, of course, giving a false hope. But their wait, of course, the reunion between him and his mother continues to go on. On his 60th birthday, his mother called for her son's release, saying, quote, "He has done nothing. He only became a Christian." You can scroll down my page, and there are subtitles because she's speaking in Farsi, but you can hear her emotional plea. During his incarceration, Nasser has written several open letters querying why his membership of a house church was deemed, quote, "an action against national security." That's a good question. He asked this question: is the fellowship of a few Christian brothers and sisters in someone's home, singing worship songs, reading the Bible, and worshiping God, acting against national security? He asked in one letter. As a signatory to the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Iran has a binding obligation to respect and protect the right to religious freedom, including the freedom to choose or to change one's belief. So I want you to do something today. First of all, I want you to share my program. If you would please do that, share it on your page, share it with your friends. But if not, at least share this petition that I'm going to repost on my page after the broadcast. It is so important. Let me just say this as simple as I can. Petitions get the attention of this government. I've seen it work several times, maybe not every time, but several times the pressure is put on, and sometimes executions are delayed or postponed. So your vote, your signing this petition is vital. Don't ever think it doesn't count. We just need to get this petition out to as many people as possible. And if you watch this video of his mother, I know you're going to be moved to do this very quickly. She needs him. She loves him. He was her primary caregiver. She walks with a cane. She needs his help. And just reach out and sign this petition today and pray for Nasser. I'm sure that it's really difficult for him to be in this prison these many years knowing that his mother needs his care. But again, all he did was become a Christian, which, of course, is against Islamic law in Iran. It can mean the death penalty, but they will persecute. They will try to cause him to recant his faith. He will not do that, of course. And they will put pressure on him. They will promise him false hopes, and they will lie to him. So please be a voice for Nasser Navard Goltape, and you'll see the information on his page. I want to also share with you another very important story related to this one about Iranian Christians. It was recently put out by Open Doors, and the title of the article is, quote, "I thank God for considering me worthy, beaten, imprisoned for choosing Jesus in Iran." This is written by Linda Lowry in Middle East on Open Doors, July 30th. I want to read this incredible story. Iranian believer Hamed Ashouri shared these words in a short video he recorded only days before submitting himself to Karaj's Central Prison on July 27th, 2021, to begin a 10-month sentence for what Iran's Islamic government calls propaganda against the Islamic Republic. Now, he was arrested for Christian activities, and he was called upon to divulge, to give up the names of other Christians. His case, that is Hamed's case, actually dates back to February 2019, though it was not reported until his sentencing early this year in April. The ordeal began the morning of February 23rd as Hamed left his home in Fardis, west of the country's capital, Tehran. Targeted by Iran's Ministry of Intelligence, Hamed was confronted and arrested by secret agents who then raided his home looking for any Christian items they could find. When they had finished ransacking Hamed's home, the agents confiscated Bibles and Christian literature as well as computer hard drives. They do this all the time. That day, Hamed was taken to prison 20 miles away in Karaj and held in solitary confinement for 10 days, Then he was transferred to Gazel Hazar prison, which is also in Karaj, for another 2 days. While he was detained, authorities relentlessly just harassed Hamid and reportedly at one point offered a large monthly salary to the Christian convert if he would become an informant on other Christians. Well, of course, boldly, Hamid refused the offer, and he was beaten because of that. Now, after Hamid submitted guarantees in the form of pay slips, authorities finally released him on bail and ordered him and a family member to attend Islamic re-education classes. But the harassment didn't stop there. Reportedly, Iran's security forces relentlessly threatened and harassed him and his family. They do this all the time after they release you. After 4 classes, Hamid refused to participate any further, a decision that quickly triggered court proceedings against him. But it was delayed by COVID-19. The case began again in March 2021, and a month later, Hamid was sentenced. The day his appeal was rejected, Hamid was summoned to Central Prison in Karaj to begin his sentence. Reportedly, Central Prison is ripe with human rights abuses. Halls are overcrowded, with prisoner authorities packing 700 people into hallways that have the capacity for only 200. Many prisoners are forced to sleep on the ground and on cardboard. The prison, of course, has poor sanitary conditions, which includes the COVID virus, with prisoners regularly facing water shortages. Every day from 2 to 6 p.m., the facility's water is cut off, and food rations have been diminished to a quarter of what they are used to be. Prisoners are always hungry, of course. For the next 10 months, this will be Hamid's world. What? Why? For the crime of leaving Islam to follow Jesus. And of course, please share this story. It will be in my Praying for the Persecutor church page. You can go right to it and scroll down. But also, most importantly, please pray for Hamid Ashouri. He needs our prayers and our voices. You hear an awful lot, of course, about suffering for Christ, especially in the Middle Eastern countries. And I'm thinking of the verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," referring back to chapter 11, "let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." The question is suffering for Christ always going to be a part of being a follower of Christ? Why the suffering? Is this really the lifestyle of a Christian? Well, the Bible talks an awful lot about suffering for the sake of Christ. Jesus was ostracized by his own family and communities. Some of the worst persecution came from religious leaders. Jesus told his followers, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He said in John 15:18, he reminded his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first." 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." And so this is just the norm. Many Christians today have found that making a public declaration of faith in Christ will, or most oftentimes, can result in imprisonment. That means beatings, torture, death. You know, often those of us here in free nations shudder at that thought. we're relatively safe here. We understand, though, that there are thousands who suffer daily for the sake of Christ and are thankful we don't have to. But now we think of what I just said to you about Nasser and about Hamid. This is real suffering for following Jesus. But is there only one kind of persecution? Well, Jesus clearly stated what it means to follow him in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self or soul? Now, our modern understanding of the phrase, take up their cross and follow me, is really inadequate. In the day of Jesus, the cross always symbolized death. When a man carried a cross, he had already been condemned to die on it. Jesus said that in order to follow him, one must be willing to die. Now, we will not all die martyr's death. We will not all be in prison, beaten, or tortured for our faith. So is there another meaning to what Jesus said? What kind of death did Jesus mean? Well, think of it this way. Let's look at that. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To follow Christ can also mean that we die to our own way of doing things. We consider our will, our rights, our passions, and our goals to have all been crucified on the cross. Our right to direct our own lives is dead to us. Death involves suffering. The flesh does not want to die. Dying to self is painful, and it goes against our natural inclination to seek our own pleasure. But we cannot follow both Christ and our sinful ways. Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. Now, if you read the New Testament at all, you will know that Paul suffered more than most for the sake of Christ. He said to the Christians at Philippi, for it has been granted to you on the behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. The word granted here means shown favor, given freely as a gift. So Paul does not present suffering here as a curse, but as a benefit. Suffering can take many forms. By choosing to obey Jesus, we are setting ourselves at odds with the world. Closely adhering to the teachings of Scripture, we set ourselves up for rejection, mockery, loneliness, or betrayal. So, suffering is sometimes by the hand of those closest to us. Often the cruelest persecution comes from those who consider themselves spiritual, but have defined God according to their own ideas. If you and me choose to take a stand for righteousness and biblical truth, we will ensure that we will be misunderstood, mocked, or worse. We need to keep in mind that no threat of suffering ever deferred the apostles from preaching Christ. In fact, Paul said that losing everything was worth it. Remember, Paul was a strict Pharisee. He gave up everything to follow Christ. That I may know him, that is Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The apostles counted it worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. That sounds just like Hamed Ashouri. He counted it worthy to be in prison. Suffering in some form is always going to be part of being a true follower of Jesus. Jesus said that the path that leads to life is difficult. Remember, narrow is the gate. Our hardship is also a way of identifying with his suffering in some small ways. Jesus said if we deny him before men, he will deny us before his Father in heaven. There are many subtle ways to deny Christ. If our actions, words, lifestyle, or entertainment choices do not reflect his will, we are denying Christ. If we claim to know him, but live as though we don't, we are denying Christ. Many people choose those forms of denying Christ because, here's the reason, they don't want to suffer for him. Often our greatest suffering, listen to me carefully, comes from within as we battle for control over a heart that must die to its own will and surrender to Christ's lordship. And you can read about that in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. In whatever form suffering comes, we should embrace it as a badge of honor and a privilege that we, just like the apostles, have, quote, been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. I hope this little quick Bible study puts a perspective on suffering for you this morning that you may have not thought of. I want to now take just a short break and listen to some good worship music from the afters. Light up the sky right here on the cross in the desert. Let's listen. powerful worship music from the afters light up the sky indeed. And everything we see around us in the beauty of creation, we see the glory of Christ in the universe and all that he has created. Today has been a very intense day on the cross in the desert. We have been introduced to the cases of two Christians living in Iran being persecuted, suffering for their faith. What you need to do if you listen to this program is work with me and support the Iranian Christians by sharing this broadcast on your page, or if not, share the petition and the stories of these Christian prisoners who are suffering for their faith. This morning, I talked about suffering in many different ways. And one way I talked about suffering is that the battle we as Christians have within ourselves to not let our sinful nature dictate how we live this life. We have a battle. It's an internal battle sometimes. And I want to just say that suffering sometimes takes very different forms. It can not only come from your closest family and from people who hate Christianity, but it can come from those who misunderstand our message. It can come from also our decision. We don't want to suffer for Christ. We want a life of ease. And there is a suffering that takes place as we battle against that inward inclination that says, I don't want suffering. But it's part of the Christian life. It's part of the here and now. And it won't change until we get to heaven, because we're in a battle against our own flesh and in a battle against the world and in a battle against Satan. In the world, the flesh and the devil wars itself against us every single day. And so while we think of Ahmed and Nasser, remember to keep them in your fervent praying, in your Bible study, in your time of worship, just in your quiet time as you reflect on the scriptures, think of them. These are amazing Christians. They are under a lot of abuse, a lot of harassment, a lot of physical torture at times, and they are understanding the cost of following Jesus. This morning I talked a little bit about that. Jesus said, whoever wants to follow after me must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me daily. And in that context, the cross means death. We understand that as we look at what the Roman government did to those they determined were insurrectionists. It's what they did to our Lord and Savior. But for the joy set before him, the scripture says, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He endured the shame. God bless you. Have yourself an incredible week, and I will see you next Thursday on the cross in the desert.